If you will, turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to continue our study that we've been on for several weeks. This is our ninth study, and we're only in verse 4. For the sake of time, we're only going to read the verse, about 4 or 5 verses, because we're only at verse 4 anyway. He says in verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh but by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. We're going to stop right there. We can read the whole thing. What we're dealing with in this chapter by itself is we're dealing with the spiritual gifts. This whole chapter is about spiritual gifts. What spiritual gifts basically is gifts from God, delivered unto us by the Holy Spirit. Everything we receive from God comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to this world, walked among men, and while he was here, he taught. He built, he started a church, he done many things while he was here. And now it must be God to see it through. God doesn't put things in man's hands. Jesus started the church when he walked through the villages and cities calling people out. Because what a church is a called out assembly. And those people came and followed him. They dropped their nets immediately and followed Jesus. That's what people do. When God calls, you come. You don't have a choice. It's not a decision you make. You drop your nets immediately and you follow the Lord, just as these men did. Amen. And that's what we do. And after we drop our nets and follow the Lord and the Lord saves us, then we keep following the Lord. Mm-hmm. But what we have to understand as we start following the Lord is we're not in charge or in control of our footsteps. Every church member is in place because God set them in place. Now think about that. Let that soak in. We're going to get to that later on in this chapter. But think about that. Every church member is in place that God has set in place. If that's true, and it is, then those that are not in place, God hasn't set them in place, has he? The same thing with our learning of the Scriptures. Nobody learns the Scriptures on their own. They're all taught in the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord says they are diversities of gifts. In verse 4, he says, "Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit." Everything is spiritual gifts to us from God. So, people want to break down, well, what's a spiritual gift? This is a spiritual gift. That's just anything. And we learn over in Galatians chapter 5, don't we, that faith is a gift. Right? Love is a gift. Right? Long-suffering is a gift. Meekness, gentleness, kindness. These are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is our job. Our job is to exercise the gifts given to us of God. This is the reason I wonder sometimes why there's one Bible and one teacher and we all believe different, because God gives us the verses as a gift. Why? I do not know. except that's the way he elected it to be. We got down to our fifth point, where there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. And I read this from John Gill. I want to reread it this afternoon while we get started. John Gill said of this verse 4, which springs up these diversities of gifts by the Holy Spirit, which springs up from free grace. God don't have to give us anything, folks. You thank God for everything you have that's godly. He didn't have to save you. You didn't make a decision. You didn't cause your salvation. God gave it to you. You didn't join a church. You didn't choose it. God put you there. You didn't educate yourself in the Bible. God gave you the knowledge. And the more harder you work to learn, the more eagerness he gave you to learn it. So it says, which sprang up from free grace, which good will and pleasure of God, and are not owning it to the merits of men, and therefore such who have the largest share of them should not boast of them as acquired by themselves. Did you hear what he said? I love that. That is profound to me. That exercises the whole thing here, I guess is the proper word to use. That's what describes what we're learning here. We don't owe it to ourselves. Too many Christians try to give themselves credit for things. And you say, well, why does God give you this much knowledge and not me? Why did God use this for you and not for me? Why did God save you and didn't save someone else? We can keep asking those questions. The problem we have is we need to learn what God does and quit concerning ourselves with why God doesn't do things. And never, ever, ever give ourselves credit for anything. We do not deserve it. So we should not boast of themselves as acquired of themselves, or be puffed up on the account of them. And those who have the smallest measure should be content and thankful. I'll tell you what, he just hit us in the belly right there. Well, I didn't get as much as you got. You be thankful for what God gave you. First of all, you be thankful that God saved your soul. He didn't have to. Amen. God owed you nothing to save your soul. Nor was you the captain of your salvation. That was Jesus. Just being saved is the most glorious thing in your life. Amen. Everything else is like what you're putting on pancakes or a baked potato. It's all the good stuff you put on there. God gave you. He built you inch by inch. Some of us he built small. Some of us medium. Some of us large. You be thankful to God for what knowledge you have. I wish we could really understand these things. Because you know what it would do? It would make us pity them that's without. Do you ever pity people that are lost? I do. I pity people that are not saved because God may not have even chose them to be saved, and they're going to hell when they die. I pity those that are saved that don't have the knowledge I have. Look what God has done in my life. He's made me the pastor of one of his churches. What a glorious honor. And God made me tonight a song leader. I can't even sing. What a glorious honor. I do it anyway because it's an honor. Don't pity yourself because you may not have what others have. You be content with what God has given to you. He says, the smallest measure should be content and thankful. Well, though the gifts are different, and they are, that's what I've been trying to say, some have greater and others have lesser, but none of us have all, do we? But all have some, yet not alike. It's different. It's diverse. Gil's exactly right. Just listen to what he says. We ought to read, we ought to have that framed and put on our building wall. It's so profound what Gil just said. People need to go home at night after church and thank God you were able to be there. And to thank God that a man stood in the pulpit and taught you God's word. If you understand any of it, you ought to go home at night and thank God. You didn't do it. Sometimes men strut around. I'm talking about pastors too. They start around like they know it all. They don't know it all. Everybody's wrong about something. That's the reason we disagree on things. If God taught us, just think about what would we be like if God taught us all identically? Would there be a difference in the body? We'd be like a bunch of nine robots, wouldn't we? Walking around. God taught me this. Yes, he did. We're not like that. We are diverse. Sometimes we argue with each other. It ought to be done in love, but we do. Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. I want us to think of, you know why this takes so long. I can't let it go, folks. I've got to keep going here. I've got to keep doing this. I've got to keep this. The Lord, a lot of preachers just run through this. I can't do that. I got to turn the water on and let it drill. Like I said before, I've got to preach something every Sunday. It might as well be this, because the Lord keeps repeating things in his word so that we'll understand it and keep reminded of it. But what a glorious reminder that we're not in charge. We're not in control. The Lord is. You know what God wants us to understand? God wants us to understand that we, as Christians and churches, are in total dependence of him. You depend on the Lord for everything. You just don't realize it sometimes. We are like the Israelites in the wilderness as Christians, totally dependent upon the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19, he says, Yet thou and thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way. They were totally dependent on that cloud. We're totally dependent upon that Holy Spirit. If we're going to learn it, if we're going to do it, if we're going to understand it, if we're going to ever conquer it as much as we can, it's going to be by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou givest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and givest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing, yet clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. God took care of them. God put Israel in a place because of their disruptions, because they just couldn't get what they were supposed to do. God put them in a wilderness for 40 years. And for 40 years, they found what it's like to be totally dependent upon God. They did nothing except what God instructed them to do for 40 years. Now, do we need God to put us in a wilderness for 40 years? God would never do that. Don't go there. You look back through history and you see what God's done with the church through history. He's allowed them to be sacrificed. He's allowed millions stacked on top of millions, stacked on top of tens of millions, stacked upon 50 millions to be crucified, to be slaughtered by his grace. The church is being persecuted again. We just hadn't realized it some. These people, we're going to Matthew 10. These people was put in a place where they had nothing to do but to depend upon God. They were put into a place where they had to give God the credit for everything. You know why? Because God is due the credit. Like Gil says, he gives some a lot, he gives some a little. But whatever God gives you, be content with it. Amen. And you know what? Here's the underline to it all, okay? Underline this. You be gracious to those that are without. You that have great knowledge, stop criticizing those who are without or lesser than you. Oh, brother so-and-so, he just can't get it. Well, you don't get it either if God didn't give it to you, and you may not be right to start with. Just because I believe it don't make me right. The Lord's speaking about when persecutions will come. Not to be dependent upon ourselves. We're always dependent upon the Lord. Always. Therefore, what do you do when you're dependent on someone? Let's just use Ronnie here for example. I'm talking about Big Ronnie. I don't pick up Little Ronnie tonight, so I'm going to go with Big Ronnie. And let's say he's got to get over state line. Well, in his condition is like mine. He's not going to walk from here to state line, is he? So he's dependent upon me to take him to state line. That's the way we are with the Lord. We are dependent. We're not going to get there on our own. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. You think God's dependent upon me to speak to you? If he is, he's in trouble, because I can't do it. I've always said, I cannot preach a single message, not a real message. I'm talking, a lot of preachers preach a lot of messages on their own, but only those who preach from the Spirit of God are preaching the truth. Man can speak. We're not talking about speaking, we're talking about preaching the Word of God. And preachers can't do that on their own. If the Lord was expecting me, I'm just using this as a figure, as an example, not that the Lord truly was counting on me for anything, but if he was counting on me to get where I am today in the ministry, I would have failed shortly after I started. I tell young preachers when I talk to them that want to be pastors, it's not easy. It's hard. It's a work. The Lord called it a work. It's work. I spend hours stacked on top of hours sometimes studying these. I spend a lot of time on this right here. I've spent no time, how many hours just on the notes I've gotten. I'm almost caught up with what I had. Now I've got to study more to get further. It don't come easy, folks, because the Holy Spirit has to give it to you. I've told you before, I've looked at commentaries, and all commentaries is basically words of men mixed with the Word of God sometimes when they use the Scriptures. But you got to learn what it really means. You are responsible for a church. Well, this applies to us. For it's not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Don't be critical of preachers. And you don't. I'm not saying that you do. Because how they speak, how they preach, is not the message. People used to hear Charles Hammond speak. Charles was a wild cat in his early years. He would walk on pews and picked up the piano bench one time that I heard about and walked across the building like Jesus carrying a cross and set it down when the piano player got up. Chad had no piano stuff. The time he was here in our Bible conference, he kept going around and around the pulpit, just like that. See, people like that, but that's not, he didn't do that for entertainment. He wasn't entertaining, he was into the message. Brother Horace barely moved from the pulpit. You rarely ever seen him get out behind the pulpit. Sometimes he'd back up and you could not hear him. He spoke so quietly. See, it's not how a preacher preaches, it's what he's saying. So if they just stand up like they're reading and they're telling you the truth, don't go to sleep on them. Listen to them. The message is God's. If the man is really called to preach, it's God's message. The delivery ain't nothing. Luke 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 11, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer, or what you shall say. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." You're not on your own. I'm not on my own. We're not on our own. If we were, we would be in trouble. Christians need to be very careful how much credit they give to preachers. I know some of them are great, and I can't brag enough on Brother Keller down there. If you listen to that CD, you'll understand why. You may say, well, he's just an average preacher, Pastor. Not to me, he's not. To me, he's a very good preacher. Wonderful man. I've even called him one of the greatest I've heard. Now, you're getting older now. Man's got a mind in him that's, I think he's a paralegal or something. He's so smart. My father-in-law was just a few hours short of a PhD. He was so smart. And he can make me look like a pathetic human being trying to preach. He spoke so well. But see, that's not it, folks. How the Holy Spirit uses you. God teaching us. 1 John 2. I thank God. He teaches us what to teach. I'd hate to know that it was my choice of what message to bring to church on Sunday to preach. And I would certainly hate for some stupid organization or BMA or the ABA or the Southern Baptist Convention, SBC, to give me a box of notes and tell me this is what you preach on this date and that's what you preach on another date, like some of them have. They don't know. They're just people. What do they know? God knows what this church needs every day, doesn't he? Excuse me. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, it is true and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." Holy Spirit teaches us. Study your Bible. Study the Word. Take the time. Don't just read it. I got me a new app on my new iPhone I got. I got me the new iPhone, and I've got me a new app, and I thought, it's a Bible app. Comes up with stupid things, you know, how they do. They put junk in there. You have to go through and exit it before you get to the good stuff. But once you get to the good stuff, and I was reading 1 Corinthians. And you know, as I started reading 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, and I read like the first 6, 7 chapters, what it was, and I couldn't write notes down fast enough that went along with this message. I've got them sitting on my desk right now. Almost every chapter of 1 Corinthians goes with this message right here. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's in every believer of Jesus Christ. And he's your teacher. He's the one that's going to teach you. Don't ever tell me that I believe this because Brother Mink taught it to you or Brother Thomas taught it to you. or Brother Horn taught it to you. Them men didn't teach you nothing. I've never taught you anything. If you know anything of the scriptures, you know what you know? You know what the Holy Spirit has taught you. God simply used these men to teach you. Think of it as a lost person sitting on the front bench we spoke of many times. Could sit there for decades and decades lost. Hearing the gospel. I can't teach him the gospel. I can't teach him how to be saved. I can read the Bible to him and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that went to Calvary and died for your sins, was buried, rose again on the third day. His blood cleanses you from your sins. I can go through that spill. I can go through that spill. And I can sit there and tell you these things, but I cannot cause anyone to believe. Only the Holy Spirit does that. 2 Peter 1. So it's the very same Holy Spirit that leads us in diverse ways. If the Holy Spirit does all of these things, if he teaches us, if he's the power of our education in the scriptures, then why don't everybody see what you see? Because of the diversities of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about 1 Corinthians. 12. We are blessed as Christians because God, the Holy Spirit, teaches us what we need in life, shows us the path we need in life, and takes care of our every need. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is a private interpretation. It's not. It's not a private interpretation. It's nothing private about it. It's not for this group of people, that group of people. It's for everybody the Holy Spirit teaches it to. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It didn't come by the will of man. Because it's not a private interpretation, but by a holy man that spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how it came. That's the reason this Bible, written over several thousand years, is in total context. Because these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things. People want to say, well, men wrote it. Man didn't write it. Man penned it. God wrote it. It didn't come by them. These are not Paul's thinking. These are not Paul's words. Paul wrote as he was moved by the Holy Spirit to write. It's not of any private interpretation. This is not Paul's writing. He penned them, but they're God's writings. The Holy Spirit inspired him to pen these words. Paul probably had hundreds of writings. Paul was in prison 3 times. He had a lot of time to write. He may have wrote 100 epistles. And we only have these that we have of him. Because these are the only ones of scripture. They found the lost scribes. They call them the lost scribes in caves. They find things all the time in caves. All kinds of writings from that time. And people want to say, well, here's the lost scrolls. Some of them is by, I think, Paul. I think some of them is by, I can't remember who all, Peter. We only know if these are the same people. We're not even sure they're the very same era. People want to use them and say, well, they're scripture too. They're not. The Apocrypha. It's not scripture either. 12 books the Catholics have, we don't have. They're not scripture. These are the scriptures. Assembled together as God hath directed it to be put together. Men moved by the Spirit of God. Now let's get started in verse 5 of our text, and we'll back up here Wednesday night and pick back up with it. But we have a few minutes, so let's get backed up to verse 5 of our text back in 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 4 it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And then look at verse 6, it says, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all and in all. You see the difference here? First, we see that their gifts are by the same Spirit. Secondly, the ministrations are by the same Lord. And the operations are the same God. So when he talks about in verse 5 that there are differences of administrations, administrations means attendances as servants of God, especially of teachers, pastors, missionaries, and so forth. Go to Ephesians 4. Administrations are the ones that God uses to teach his word. But the same Lord is teaching them. Same Lord that's educating you through them. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. While all these are workers in the churches, that is the example of God's diversity among the Christians. So not only did God use diversities in the teaching, some may give more knowledge than others, but all are to be content with what God has given them and thanking God that he ever gave them anything. Then you start looking at the administration of the word. And that's the pastors, the teachers, the missionaries. As Paul listed here in Ephesians 4:11. Teachers, pastors, missionaries, and so forth. Some evangelists. All these are different. They all have different areas to cover. I'm not a missionary. And a missionary is not a pastor. While pastors are teachers, you also have people that teach. Well, pastors tend to churches, evangelists don't. See what I'm talking about? We do not pick what we are in life. God calls every man to the post he wants them to go to. He made me a pastor. I couldn't be a missionary. I couldn't imagine the chewing out my wife would give me if we were sent to some jungle somewhere. I mean, going to Texarkana would be enough. I couldn't imagine a jungle somewhere. No, we love Texarkana. We love this church. But you get what I'm talking about. God gave me the abilities one thing. He gave Brother Sullivan, Dan Sullivan, the other missionary, the missionary in Thailand, the ability to do what he does in Thailand. We got missionaries in Iraq. I couldn't imagine them. See, I can't imagine them. When one day, Brother Curtis Pugh came through Sulphur Springs. That's the Country Baptist Church, he and his family. And they had one of them streamer, Airstream deals that Justin had. You know what I'm talking about. Them that everybody wants. Something like that. And he pulls it behind this big old pickup and in our yard. And I'm looking at it and I'm sitting there talking to him. I like to talk to missionaries about what they're doing and what's going on in the work and where they're going. He was going to White Horse, Canada. So I go home, I look up on the map, White Horse, Canada. That thing is way up there in Canada. And I asked him when he was there, I said, well, Brother Pete, what are you going to live in? He said, we're going to live in that camper. I said, really? You gonna live in that thing in Canada? And he did. Until he went to Romania. And you know what? He was happy about going to White Horse, Canada. God sent me to White Horse, Canada. My wife would shoot me. It gets 40 degrees out here and she's freezing. I can imagine her 45 below zero weather. That's what I'm talking about. See how God sets it all up? He didn't make me a missionary. He's not going to send me to White Horse, Canada. He's not going to send me to Alaska. Please, Lord. My father-in-law taught me, a young preacher, never say never with the Lord. I just did. But you get, well, I am 62. I am practically 1 foot in the grave. I mean, you know. I hope he's not going to. But you know what I'm talking about. You see what I'm talking about. Anyway, that's where we're going to get to, and we'll start there at verse 5 Wednesday night. All right, Ronnie, you can kill that thing.